good morning. Happy Easter, everyone.
It's good to be in the it's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. I want to start off by reading a verse here that kind of set things up, and it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, "He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." And that's what we are really celebrating today, is the fact that Jesus Christ has overcame the grave, and therefore we can too. And that's what I'll be talking about today. And the name of my message this morning is Burning Hearts. And it's taken, if you want to follow with me today, in Luke chapter 24, and verses I'll be covering from verses 13 through 50. I won't be reading all of them, but that's where it'll be found this morning in the text. Now, with that being said, while you're turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, I just want to say that the resurrection is the heartbeat of Christianity. Amen? It is the heartbeat of Christianity. And what I mean by that is, without resurrection, there's not even any purpose for us being here today. There's not any purpose for us to really have anything really to look forward to. It would be pretty dreadful. And I think you'll see what I mean by the end of this message today. But one of the things that we celebrate about the resurrection, or the thing that we celebrate about the resurrection, I should say, is this, that Jesus, number one, being fully God, has power over death. And when I say that Jesus has power over death, He doesn't just have power over physical death, He has power over spiritual death. Now, we know that we all, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But we also know that the fact that we have spiritual life, that Jesus saved us spiritually, and we can have spiritual life. We know that our spirit's going into eternity. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15 that we get a new body also. We get a new body also. And so our spirits are made alive, and we get a new body to accompany that, and that's because Jesus Christ overcame the grave and overcame sin. And that's what we're looking at here today. And so it's really something that because of Jesus Christ's righteousness, we can have power over our sin. I don't know about you, but that's really comforting to me to know that sin doesn't have to conquer any one of us, doesn't have to destroy any one of us, that we've been delivered from it because of Jesus Christ overcoming death and overcoming sin. But not only that, that because of Jesus Christ overcoming the grave, it propels us into new life, new eternal life. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, is the fact that Jesus Christ propels us into a life that's very fulfilling, is a life that burns in our hearts when we walk with Him. And that's what I'll be talking about today, is burning hearts. And we're going to be looking at the fellows on the road to Emmaus mostly today. That's where we're going to be speaking, what we're going to be speaking about today. And I just want to say this. It's important for everybody to know that Jesus is the King. And He is alive, and there is a King that's over this universe, and He's sitting on His throne right now. And a lot of people actually talk about Jesus like He's just a part of history or something. But because of the fact that He overcame the grave, He's fully alive right now. And He's sitting on His throne. And not only that, He is coming back. And I think pretty soon. What about you? I think He's coming back pretty soon. And when He comes back, we're going to give account to Him. He is going to be the judge. And I want you to know that knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not going to be me that judges whether or not you have eternal life. It's not going to be anybody else. It's going to be Jesus Christ Himself. And He's the one that overcame death, and He's the one that's sitting on the throne now, and He's the one that we'll give account to when He comes back. And so when we look at the account of the fact of the stone being rolled away, when we look at that account, and the angels proclaimed that He had risen, it wasn't an account for Jesus. It was for the spectators that were there. The spectators, the women that came there, the reason why that stone was rolled away was for their sakes. Does everybody realize that? It was for them. Jesus didn't need to have a stone moved to remove Himself from the grave. He had power to overcome it. And he can do anything He wants to. That stone was rolled away where those women and everybody else, the other spectators were coming, could actually walk in to that tomb and see that He was not there. And that's why the angels proclaimed that He is risen. And so it's important for us to note when the women were going there, they were actually going there to actually take care of the body, take care of Jesus' body. And when we see that that's what they were going there for, it's important for us to take note then, because that's what they were going there for, is they themselves didn't expect Him to be alive, did they? And that's what I want to say today is a lot of people are living their life as if Jesus hasn't risen from the grave, that Jesus isn't alive. We may say that and we may say that and read about it, but how many of us really live like Jesus has risen and has empowered us to serve Him? And so we'll look at these things today. And I want to just tell everybody this morning as you're sitting here, first of all, Jesus has delivered anybody that believes in Him, that puts their trust in Him, knowing that He died on the cross to pay for the sins and He rose again from the dead. He has power to deliver anybody sitting here today from death. And I want you to think about that today. I want you to think about your eternity. And if you haven't asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can be saved today. You can have power over death because Jesus made that possible. He can make you righteous with His righteousness because He's being fully God and having power over sin, paid for our sins on the cross and overcame death. And so our sins are paid for. And so we can actually have a righteous walk with Jesus because of what He's done. Amen? And then also I want everybody to stop and realize that He propels us in a new life. And as a Christian, it's not just that we have overcame death because of Jesus and not because we've been made righteous because of Jesus, but He actually gives us new life. And new life is something that we live each and every day. It's something where we walk with Him. And so that's what I want to share with us today is the fact that when we walk with Him, our hearts burn with His words burning in our hearts. And it propels us and it strengthens us and it keeps us going. And so I just want everybody to know that because of Jesus overcoming the grave, that we have a fire burning in our hearts as Christians to serve Him all the way into eternity. Amen? And so with that being said, my first point this morning is called the road to Emmaus. And we're going to be talking about the road to Emmaus. As we look at the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, and these first few verses will be 13 through 17. As we look at this, we see in this account two discouraged individuals. And this is where we're going to pick up this morning, is we're going to take a look at two discouraged individuals. Anybody ever been discouraged before? And what I want to say with that, and the way that I would equate it, if we could somehow explain these fellows to you, is this. Have you ever had like your favorite team be in like March Madness or something like that, and they lose? Right? Yes, I have experienced that here recently. That's right. And but you know, everybody knows that's really discouraging. Or maybe there was an election where maybe the person that you wanted to be in power lost. And I did say, we won't go there. We won't go there. But maybe that person lost and we get discouraged and we think, what's happening? And really, honestly, when we look at these guys that are on this road to Emmaus, that's who these guys are. Their guy that they thought was going to be coming into power and was going to take over everything and everything was going to start going the way that they thought it was supposed to be going, he died on a cross. And they were discouraged about it. And so they were downcast. And so that's where we pick up this morning. In verse 13, the Word of God in Luke chapter 24 says this, "That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing Him. And He said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad." So here they are, they're all discouraged, and Jesus appears to them, and they don't recognize Him. They don't recognize Jesus. Actually, I want to tell you that word had already gotten out that Jesus had risen. Word was already getting out there, and obviously they weren't believing it, and obviously they weren't getting out of Jesus what they wanted to get out of Jesus, and that's what we're seeing here. And so when we look at this, Jesus asked them, why are you looking sad? This is the first thing I want us to think about this morning. Jesus asked them, why are you guys looking sad? What's the problem here? Well, what was it that was making them sad? What was making them sad is they were thinking that some guy politically wasn't going to actually come into power and give them what they wanted. And isn't that the way that a lot of this world goes about life these days and these times also? They've got particular things they want out of Jesus, and a lot of people have things that they want out of Jesus, but that's not what Jesus was all about, and that's not where He's going. And here's the thing. He's the King, He's the one in charge, and it's His plan and not man's. And these guys were discouraged about that. Does that sound familiar to any of us? How many times do we get discouraged whenever we actually are living our lives and we think that Jesus ought to be working our plan, and Jesus is saying, no, wait a minute, I've got my own plan. And that's what's happening here, and Jesus is talking to them about this. And so, also, when we look at this, it's strange to me that they didn't recognize him. It's strange to me that they didn't recognize him. And I think a lot of times that we actually don't recognize Jesus, and unbelievers don't recognize who Jesus is, and listen to this, because they aren't listening to his word. They aren't listening to his word, they aren't doing things his way. And I want to show you a verse, and you can put in your notes Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Put in your notes Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. I'll be returning back to Luke here, but I want to read something from Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17 that kind of explains what I'm trying to articulate here. In Romans 10, 14, the Word of God says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Now, I just want to talk about this verse before I move on a little bit and point out a couple of things. And one of the things that we see here is, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? These fellows here that we're looking at in Emmaus are actually not really even recognizing who Jesus is, because they really haven't believed who Jesus is. They wanted him to be just the ruler, a king, that was going to deliver them from Rome. And Jesus is saying, I'm so much more than that, it's ridiculous. And that's the way that we are. I think there's a lot of people in this world these days that don't see Jesus because they're blind to their own pride. They're blind to their own agendas. And Romans chapter 10, verse 14 is saying, we can't see Jesus if we're not going to believe. If you're not going to listen to what he has to say, you're not going to see Jesus. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say, I don't believe Jesus is real. Well, there you go. There you go. There you go. And then moving on and looking at this a little bit more, it says, how are they going to hear without someone preaching? And how are they going to hear without not ever hearing? Now, I want you to know something. This doesn't mean that there's a lot of people that never, ever hear about Jesus. This means that there's a lot of people that they have an opportunity to hear about Jesus, but they have their ears shut. They have their ears shut. And what I mean by having their ears shut, they're unwilling to actually put their trust in a risen Savior. They're unwilling to put their trust in the fact that there was a God that came down and paid the price for their sins, and then he rose again from the dead. And if they would just actually put their trust in Jesus, they would actually hear his words, and they would come alive. And that's important for us to see here as far as this is concerned. And then people say, you mean I've got to hear preaching? I've got to hear preaching to hear Jesus? But this preaching that they're talking about is the Word of God, Jesus' words. Jesus' plan, not some political plan, not some other kind of plan, but Jesus' words, Jesus' plan, and it doesn't have to come from this pulpit. It can come from anywhere out there, and people are hearing it. And that's why it's important for us as Christians to be sharing the gospel, because there might be somebody that's ready to hear Jesus speak to them. Maybe you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you will trust in the fact that there's something here that Jesus has to say to you, and you listen to his words will come alive to you. And then in verse 15, it goes on and says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It is good news. The good news of Jesus risen is what we're actually celebrating here on Easter, the fact that we have eternal life because of what he's done, and because we have victory over sin because he overcame the grave and he overcame sin. And then in verse 16 it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now there it is. There it is right there. They have not obeyed the gospel. One of the biggest things that it is the thing, not the biggest thing, it is the thing. When we're unwilling to obey the gospel, when we're unwilling to hear the gospel, when we're unwilling to hear Jesus according to his plan, not our plan, then it says in Isaiah, Lord, who has believed or has heard from us? That's the problem that we're living in this world today, is people are unwilling to actually obey. When we hear the gospel, everybody hears the gospel at one time or another. In Romans chapter 1, it says the things of God are clearly seen so that they're without excuse. The problem is, do you hear it? Do you see it? It says obey. Obey. You know, it's one thing. We're talking about spiritual ears, and spiritual ears means actually obeying what you hear. And so if I tell you today that Jesus Christ is risen, and that he overcame the grave, and he did it to save us from our sins, then we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice to ignore that fact and distrust it, or we can obey it and obey His word. And when we obey it, something happens. Look at verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Now that's a game changer right there. Whenever we're willing to obey the word of God, then something supernatural, and I do mean the word supernatural, just like Jesus overcoming the grave, something supernatural happens that Jesus actually installs faith, gives us faith when we're willing to obey His words. So maybe you're sitting here right now, you say, I don't believe it. If you're willing to obey what's being said and you're willing to trust Jesus, He's going to meet you somewhere in that transaction where He's actually going to prove Himself to you in your soul. And that's an important thing when we talk about salvation. It's not a matter of having some scientist or anything like that explaining something to you. It's your willingness to accept His word and let Him be the king and not ourselves. And that's the problem that we see with these guys that were on the road to Emmaus. They had their own plan working. So I want to ask you at this point. Number one, who is it that most people want Jesus to be? Think about this today. Think about this in this world that we live in. Who is it that people want Jesus to be? Everybody wants Jesus to be this kind of Jesus that gives them everything that they want, right? Everything the way that they want it. And we definitely want Jesus to give us peace, right? And what do they want Jesus to do? Well, they don't understand. People say, I don't understand if He's a loving God. Why would there be any suffering or anything like that? I don't understand. Well, the problem is that we had a sin problem. We had a sin problem. We were born into sin, and we have a free will. And because we have a free will, it means that Jesus doesn't force Himself on any one person. But I want to tell you something today. He doesn't force Himself, but He definitely says, I want to save you. I want to give you eternal life. As a matter of fact, He proved it by actually hanging on a cross and shedding His blood and being tortured for our sakes and dying and then overcoming death and saying, I came from heaven to actually deliver each and every person from this thing called sin. Now that is a gift. And that's why we talk about a gift. That is something that none of us did to earn. Amen? None of us did anything to earn that. That is a holy and righteous God paying for our sins, saying, hey, I want to give you eternal life. I want to make you righteous on the inside. I want to deliver you from sin. I want to give you power in your life. And yet we have people go, yeah, but you know, I'm so happy with dysfunction. I'm just so happy with it. And so there we are. And so then they walk around sad going, oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that Jesus isn't really going to take over the world? He died. And that's what these guys did here on the road to Emmaus. Now, let's keep going on this story about these fellows. Drop down to verse 25 in Luke chapter 24. Verse 25, and He said to them, Jesus says to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying something very interesting here that I want everybody to see here. He's saying that the prophets have spoken about Him for a long time. This has been going out for ages about how He was going to come and He was actually going to be the payment. He was going to be the Messiah. He was going to pay for people's sins. People say, I don't know if the people heard the gospel. The gospel has been preached from the beginning in the Word of God. And that's what Jesus is saying Himself. He's saying, the prophets have been talking about Me for a long time. And He says, oh, foolish ones, why are you not listening? And the reason why they're not listening is because they don't get the Jesus they want. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? He's asking them a question. Is there any other way that we can have eternal life? You think about it right now in your own power, in every human being's own power. Is there anything you can do to give yourself eternal life? There isn't. Is there anything any one of us can do to overcome sin? There isn't. I know there are some people that say, I'm pretty good. I'm a pretty good person. But the Bible tells us there's none that doeth good. There's none that are righteous. No, not one. For by grace we're saved. And it's Jesus' grace that we're saved. Not of works. Not anything that we can do. And so He goes on in verse 27 and says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now, look at this. This shouldn't just go by us either. This is Jesus, our holy God, or the righteous one, that's actually sharing Scriptures with people. Do you see what He's doing? The way that He introduces Himself to people is through the Word of God. How do we share the gospel? How do people get preaching? How do they hear the gospel? They get it from hearing the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. And this is something that always gives me comfort. People go, man, I'm afraid to witness to people. I'm really afraid. It scares me. Well, it scares me in the natural also. I mean, who likes to come up to somebody they don't know and just start sharing something like this? But I want you to know something. Jesus says share the gospel. Why share the gospel? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not by my wisdom, not by my words, not by your words, not by your wisdom, but His wisdom, His words. And He Himself demonstrates the Word speaking about Him. And so the thing that we do is we share the gospel of Jesus Christ just like He did. He's talking to them. He's sharing the gospel to them about Himself from the Word of God. Because it is His Word, right? And so what I want you to get before we move on is this. This wasn't actually salvation coming by man's ideas or man's plans. And He's looking at these guys going, I know what you wanted. I know what you wanted out of me. But that's not what you're going to get out of me. And it's not going to work for anybody. What we're going to get is we're going to get Jesus on His terms. Because He's the King. And He will be the judge. And He will be the one that we give account to. Amen? So then, look at verse 28. So they drew near to the village. This is so cool. This is cool stuff here. He said, so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, hey, stay with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. So here these guys are, and they still don't recognize him because he really isn't who they wanted him to be. But he starts sharing who he is on his terms. And look, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And look at this. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then when they recognized him, he vanished from their sight. That is so strange because this is how he got out of the tomb, brothers and sisters. This is how he got out of there. He's there, he's not there, he's somewhere else. He's in heaven, he's wherever he wants to go. He's Jesus, he's the King. How about that? I think that's cool. But not only that, listen to what their response was. And this is where I'm going with this message today, brothers and sisters. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the Scriptures? And that leads me to my second point this morning. Jesus speaks, our hearts burn. When Jesus speaks, our hearts burn. And I don't mean like heartburn, like we need heartburn medicine or anything like that either. I just want to talk about that. What I want you to see there is when Jesus started speaking His Word, their spiritual eyes were opened. And when our spiritual eyes are opened, that's when our heart starts burning. When His Word goes out, there's a burning in our heart. I just want to tell you right now, when I got saved, whenever I knew that I was supposed to be saved, whenever I heard God's Word, I felt a burning in my heart. There was a tugging in my heart saying, this is truth. He wants to save me. He wants to give me eternal life. And I knew that Jesus was speaking to me, and I knew that I was to be born again. And this happens so many times when we get into God's Word. You say, man, I don't know about this. I want you to know if every one of you would get into God's Word and be willing to obey what Jesus has got to say to you, your hearts would burn in a way that you can't even imagine. What I want to say from this, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to quit, for example. Anybody ever wanted to quit, you know, and say, this serving Jesus, man, it's getting too hard. I don't know how many times I've wanted to quit and open His Word, or maybe I hear a good gospel song that has something that's from His Word, that's scriptural. And those things that speak to me propel me on. And His Word, and those uplifting moments where Jesus' Word burns in our hearts, propels us all the way to eternity. And this was just the beginning for these guys. Suddenly it went from, our political guy is gone, to, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because our hearts are burning with His Word. And their lives were beginning to change from that point forward. So, what I want you to do right now, is I want everybody to actually for a moment, stop for a moment, and think about His Word. He's alive. Jesus is alive right now. It tells us that He's alive. And so when we see that He's alive, His Word is ever before us. And so when we get into the Word of God and we hear Him speak to us, it burns in our heart and it propels us and energizes us. Say, do I have time? Do I have time to have a devotional time to get into God's Word in the morning before I start my day? Yes, it's the thing that will propel you through your day. Do I have time to actually hear what Jesus got to say about my marriage? Do I have time to hear what Jesus got to say about my family? Do I have time to hear what Jesus got to say about my life? Do people have time to hear what Jesus got to say about their eternity? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes, because it's something that will propel you and burn in your hearts and take you to a different place than we've ever been before. And that's what these guys were experiencing here. Instead of walking around with our own ideas, like they were doing. They were walking around with their own ideas, and you see how their own ideas were working? I'm so sad, and life is going nowhere, and nothing good's going to happen for me. And then Jesus' Word starts burning in their hearts, and everything changes. And that's what Jesus does. You know, I was looking at this burning hearts, and where it says their hearts burn, and it comes from a word, kalo, which means to set on fire. Or to be consumed. To set on fire or consumed. Now I'm going to tell you something. What it's saying is the Word of God went into their hearts and it consumed them. That's what Jesus' Word does. When we obey Jesus' Word, it consumes us. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to hear His Word and let it consume you. And what I mean by let it consume you is don't let it make you sit in that seat. You get down at the altar and you ask Him to be your Savior today. And your life will change. That's what it means. And that's what it's talking about. And I just want to tell you something. These guys' life changed from then on. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a little bit. You know, I'm a dork. And everybody knows that, right? Anybody that knows me knows I'm a dork. And I've always been a sucker for Rocky movies. I've always been a sucker for Rocky movies, okay? There's one Rocky movie, and I'm getting ready to share something to show you how much of a dork I really am. In one of the Rocky movies, whenever he actually wins, and he's like having victory, and the movie's ending, and there's a song where, "Hearts on fire, strong desire." I wanted to cry when I heard that. I was so fired up. It's ridiculous, I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, if you heard this, if I was to play the song for you right now, you guys would be going, man, that is so 80-ish or something, right? But to this day, when I see that movie and they sing, "Hearts on fire, strong desire," I'm like, yes! Why? It's just the movie, right? We hear a public speaker, I'm the guy that when the coach was calling us a bunch of scumbags and shaking our helmets and going, "Let's go!" I'd be like, "Yes!" My heart was on fire. Temporarily. When Jesus lights a fire in our heart, it's not temporary. It's not temporary. It's forever. And it burns. And you know what? We throw more wood on the fire every time we hear His Word speak and we obey. And that's what these guys were experiencing. And that's what the resurrection does for the saved person. It changes our lives. And that's what resurrection can do for the lost person. Can light a fire in your heart that's never been there before. Not because of some intellectual decision, but by obeying His Word and trusting Him. Because after all, when we look at resurrection, it's pretty crazy. Do you know anybody that's overcame death? I know, we've seen those books and the story. I was dead for 30 minutes and then I came back and whatever. Those people still have an appointment with death. And those people cannot pay for people's sins. But Jesus did. Why? Because He's the Creator of the universe, and He's righteous, and He's holy. And He loves us. And that's why He died on the cross to pay for our sins, and that's why He overcame death. And He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He did it by His own free will. And by your own free will, as he speaks to you, you can obey him and he'll save you today. Which leads me to my third and final point this morning. He's alive and the message is the same today. He's alive and the message is the same today. Now, where we pick up on this, is right here. These guys, they figure out, hey, it's Jesus, and they take a run and go, hey, everybody, it's real. He's alive. He really is. He's alive. And then guess what? Here he goes again. Jesus appears to them again, along with the other people, the other people that were around them. And it startled them. And wouldn't it startle you? I mean, wouldn't it startle you if you like saw this guy die and all of a sudden he's there? And it says that they thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a ghost or something like that, right? But there was only one problem with that. He had these scars that he could show them. And he said, hey, I paid for your sins and I'm alive. I overcame death. I am God. I'm not just some slick politician that was going to do some slick tricks. He's God Almighty, the King. And he proved it with the scars. But not just the scars. He said, hey, let's eat. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking if a ghost was to eat, that stuff would fall on the ground or something. You know. And when we look at that, he ate with them and he hung out with them. Look at verse 44. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus at this point in time says, hey, listen, the way that things are happening is because this is what had to happen, the way that I prophesied it to happen, and the way that the Word of God says it would happen. All they had to do was listen to the Word of God to know that Jesus' words were true all along and that He was the Savior. But they did like... And I know, we look at these people and we go, they're so dumb. They are so dumb. How come they couldn't see it? That's the way that it is today. Who's listening to Jesus today? Who's listening to His Word today? You say, well, I am. Of course I am. How many times do we get ourselves in trouble by not listening to Jesus' words? If we would just obey Him, our hearts would be on fire. And we wouldn't be discouraged. And we wouldn't be walking around all sad. And then look at this, verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And that's what Jesus does. That's what His Spirit does. It opens our minds to the Scriptures. And so whenever we become a Christian and we become born again, suddenly His words open up to us and we hear His words and they come alive and they burn in our hearts and they propel us to obey Him and to serve Him and not to be afraid and not to be worried about what people think. We're on fire for Jesus. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, do you see what happened? Just a little bit ago, everybody was all sad. But after they realized that Jesus is real, and he is the King of the universe, and he is the Savior, and he is the Messiah, they went from sadness to gladness. And so, what he's telling them here is his fulfilled plan is the agenda all along. His fulfilled plan. Jesus had a plan for salvation. It's been the plan from the beginning. Jesus knew that men and women were going to sin. He knew it. And he had a moment in time in our history where he came down from heaven. He was born fully God and fully man born and lived a righteous and holy life without sin, paid the price for our sins, died and paid through death and overcame death. And because he overcame death, if he can overcome death and pay for our sins, then he can make it where we overcome death also. Isn't that amazing? And that's what we celebrate today, brothers and sisters. That's what we celebrate. Now, I want you to remember, do you see what he did? He's the one that opened their minds to the Scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, I've looked at scriptures and I've thought about things scientifically and all that kind of thing. Well, what you need to do, and I know this sounds simplistic and you can make fun of me if you want to, but it's really this simple. Listen to what he's got to say and really willing to trust him. And what I'm trying to tell you is it goes from something like what some would call an experiment to something where Jesus actually will prove himself to you. This is the problem that's going on in this world today, brothers and sisters, is nobody's really willing to obey Jesus. And so they never really see Jesus. He's all around, but they don't see him. I mean, he could be walking next to them, like these guys, and they would never see him because their minds are shut. And as long as their minds are shut, they're never going to hear it. And that's a problem. And you know what else that is? That's pride. Pride kills. And sin kills. And Jesus delivers us from pride. Jesus delivers us from sin. And what is his message? Look again at verses 46 and 47 to conclude things here. Look at it. Look at 46 and 47. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. He's saying this was the plan for salvation. This is it. That he, all along in the scriptures, it talked about the Messiah was going to die and 3 days later overcome death. This is the gospel message. This was the gospel message from the beginning. This is the gospel message today in this building. This is it. I mean, this is it. And this is his words. And this is his plan. And he is the king. And he is the judge. And he's the one that's going to know whether or not you obeyed this or not. Not me. Not your mom, not your dad, not your husband, not your wife, not your friend. Him. He'll know. We can play games with each other all we want to. But when Jesus, who can overcome death, looks you in the eye, he knows whether or not you trusted him or not. He knows. He knows. And then, in verse 47, in that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He's saying, all we have to do, he's saying, repent. Say, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. And there's nothing that I can do about my sin. I repent of my sin. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, not sinned against other people. I've sinned against a righteous and holy God, you, Jesus. And I want to ask for forgiveness of my sins. And I know that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I need you. And I'm willing to obey you and let you be my Lord in my life. You'll be in charge from then on. And he will light a fire in your heart that will never, ever go out. And it's called salvation. It's what salvation is. You know, everything changed. Everything changed for these people. This is one of the most amazing apologetical things. If there was anything in the Bible that we could see, this is it. Before the resurrection, these people, as he was died on the cross, they were scared to death. They were terrified. They were running for their lives. And then after the resurrection, everybody that came across him, suddenly it didn't matter any longer. They were bold, and they were on fire for Jesus, and it didn't matter what any man or any government or anything would say to them. They were on fire for Jesus, and they were willing to die for him because they knew that they were going to overcome death and that they were spiritually alive forever. Now, I want to say one last thing, and that is this. There is such a thing as spiritual death. I mean, we all physically die and then we get a new body. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, he gives us a new body. But there's such a thing as spiritual death also, and we've got to understand this. I mean, a lot of people think that maybe just the lights go off or something, but that's not the case. Spiritual death is an existence. Spiritual death is an existence. And it's an existence apart from God. It's an existence apart from God's goodness. You're saying, Pastor, are you saying hell? That's exactly what I'm saying. Forever. And Jesus is saying, but I don't want you to go there. I didn't prepare hell for you. I died on the cross to pay for your sins where you wouldn't have to go there. Because sin brings forth death. That's what sin does. And God is righteous, and there's nothing righteous. There's nothing unrighteous that can be in God's presence. And God understands that, and so he made it to where we could be righteous with his righteousness, with his goodness, and his kindness. So if your life is just living day to day, and is really not going anywhere. So let's say you're a Christian and your life just seems to be just mundane and just going through the motions. Where is the burning in your heart for Jesus? Where is the burning in your heart for Jesus? Can we look at these guys on the road to Emmaus and see that the thing that all of us need is Jesus' word and us obeying it, and there will be a fire in our hearts that will propel us on to every day. Every day when we wake up. Every day that we live. This is the problem with most Christians. They're unwilling to let Jesus be their king, even though they've been saved. They're unwilling to let him be the king, and so there's not a fire propelling them. There's not a fire burning in their hearts. It's flickering. And there's no energy, and there's no power, and there's sadness and that kind of thing. But even more than that, for the lost person, they go, I'm trying my hardest to grit my teeth and get through this life and find good things that make me happy and everything. And there isn't anything out there except Jesus. And that's what he's trying to say. That's what he's trying to say. I want to give you life, and I want to give you life abundantly. Acts 1, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 through 11 says, but you will receive power. A Christian, this is Jesus' message to the Christian. And so if you're not a Christian, he wants to save you. If you are a Christian, listen. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He empowers us. The power that delivered him from the grave will literally propel us through our life and get us through it. He will empower us. And it will give us the ability to share the gospel. And when he had said these things as they were looking on him, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again.